It's great to be with you guys, man. Yeah, it's just been such a blessing for us being obviously part of the 9 a.m. this morning and just seeing the work of the Lord in that meeting and seeing the saints activated. And then you come here and it's like it's totally different, but you still see the Lord working in such a powerful way. And it's just like, man, we serve a living God. And to be part of the church, it's one living organism, hey? So beautiful and amazing to be with you guys tonight, you creatures of the night. But yeah, as Sean said, we're part of the 9 a.m. congregation, not for long. And yeah, just a bit about myself and our family. So I've been a part of Oxygen Life since 2013. So we joined when Sarah King joined. I don't know if she's here tonight. Where is she? Yeah, there. Yeah, so we did Starting Point with Sarah. Back then, we were part of the Farragacom with Tracy Galloway. She was Tracy Van Oosten back then. Yeah, I don't know where she is. But yeah, man, so we've been part of it for a while. And yeah, just throughout the life of the church, we've celebrated so many milestones. Yeah, I got married to my beautiful wife, Kerry here. And yeah, we're going to be celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary coming up now on the 3rd of September. I've been together for 15 years. And yeah, and we've got two beautiful daughters, Robin, who's turning 4 this year in October, and little Georgia. She's going to be turning 8 months now, yeah, this month. And yeah, we are a family who love animals and nature. We've got two dogs, Charlie and Finn. We've got a crazy cat called Noodle. He's celebrating his big 18-year birthday this year. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I need to get him worse food. And yeah, some tropical fish. We've also got some chickens in our backyard and a massive veggie coop. So yeah, there's always something happening in the Rudolfs home. It's always active. So that's just a little bit about us and our family in a nutshell. But it hasn't been the easiest year for us as a family, as you can imagine. Adopting another little baby at the start of the year. And yeah, we've just had a lot of flu this year. I think as a family, when you grow, that just naturally happens. You sort of watch it take place. You see that little baby looking up you, smiling with its snotty nose. And then you see it hit the toddler and the wife, and you just wait there. You can't do anything about it. And yeah, we've also just had some challenges with a loved one passing away at the start of the year, and just some other things. And most recently, a health scare with our little baby, Georgia. So when I heard Wes, Talia, and Jochen, when I heard their testimony this morning, it just got something in me. Because we've just been through something quite similar. Where just a month ago, we had this precious little baby of ours, and she's just smiling. And the next thing, she just started having these seizures and these fits. And as a parent, that just kind of rocks your world because you don't really know, you know, what does this mean? And so we went and we've been in and out of the ER, just like Talia and Jochen, and seeing specialists. She went for EEG, and then this week we got her to go for MRI. And yeah, it's really tough seeing your little 7-month-old baby getting sedated and going in this MRI, this little child, and you're kind of going like, sure, Lord, what does this mean? What does this mean for our future? And then what happened is the elders got around Kerry and Proxy for Georgia, and they just laid hands on her, and they just prayed over her. And that was a couple of weeks back, and since then, she hasn't had a single fit or seizure. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. And then she went for her scan, and her scan came back beautifully clean. A perfectly structured brain. Praise the Lord, man. And the neurologist then came to us, and she said, you know, I didn't want to actually tell you this, but I was quite worried. And when I studied the signs of her body and I saw those videos of the seizures, I was pretty convinced that she had an enlarged side of the brain. I was very much convinced. And so I was really surprised to see that it's a perfect brain. And we're trusting that was just a healing miracle that took place. We're just trusting that was the Lord. And throughout this whole thing, it's just been so beautiful because throughout this, we've been able to share this testimony with the pediatric neurologist who's now said she's going to be coming and visiting the 11 a.m. So, which is so exciting. Yeah, man, it's amazing. And I think what was just beautiful as well is just seeing the saints, man, get involved around us, just seeing the church be activated. I mean, we walked in there and there was a guy called Kyle who's in the AM. He was doing the sedation for us and he was just so encouraging to us. And then while we're waiting anxiously for the results, Mike Kotze just comes in and he's like, "Hey guys, what are you doing here?" And he just prays with us because he's going to go and visit Barry and Bardeen from Summer Strand because they're busy having an op. And then while we're walking around, we bump into another guy that's an AM who's a pediatric guy up there in the ward. And so it's just like the Lord was just placing all these little lights around us, man, just to encourage us. So, yeah, I think throughout the whole time, we've just felt so rooted to Christ and so rooted to the body. And during this time, the Lord has just laid the scripture on my heart, and that's where I want to turn to today. It's Colossians 2, verses 6 to 10. So if we've got our Bibles, let's turn there. And Paul's writing this to the Colossians. He says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." Can we just pray? Yeah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the head over everything, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that in you we find fullness. And tonight, Lord, even as you were breaking things over people, we pray that tonight you would bring dead things to life tonight. You would bring dead hearts and make them alive in you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May you just speak to us in power, yeah, with authority. Yeah, may your will be done tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Cool. So Paul was writing this to the Colossians, and you know they were in danger of really believing false teachings, these sort of new age philosophies that were coming through that was leading them away from the sufficiency of Christ. And the city at the time was almost on a bit of a downhill. Previously, it had been this sort of trade hub. It looked really promising, but now what was happening is its neighboring cities, Laodicea and Hierapolis, was starting to leapfrog it. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was looking for a job, I would probably also go to Hierapolis, especially if my name was Apollos. Yeah, we have more dad jokes in the AM, okay? You guys, you'll warm up to me eventually, okay? I am qualified. But yeah, so there's this city, and they're looking to their neighbors, and they're seeing them surpassing them. And I think for us in Qobeja, in the old GQ, we can maybe relate to this a bit when we look to the likes of Cape Town, and we look to the Garden Route, and we see what's happening there. And we can't know for sure, but there might have been this challenge for the church in seeing this, to almost stay relevant, to adopt these new teachings, to make themselves feel significant, to adopt these latest trends. But what we do know for sure is that Paul is writing this because the believers were being led astray. They were being led astray and exposed to these teachings that promised something outside of Christ. And what was so dangerous about them is they weren't maybe even denying Christ, but they were coming with these sort of new add-ons, this talking about the worship of angels and syncretism, adopting all religions and sort of legalistic practices to earn your salvation. And so Paul is writing to them and he's saying, "Why are you doing this? You don't need these things. Why are you digging into this stuff? Everything that you have is in Christ. It's all in Him." And he's saying, "The fullness of the deity is in Him, and Christ will bring in you a fullness." You don't need those things. You don't need horoscopes. You don't need zodiac signs telling you what your future will bring. All you need is in Christ. Christ is sufficient for everything. And so Paul he's built up to this in chapter 1 where he's spoken about the supremacy of God. He's spoken to the Colossians and he's told them that Christ is the image of the invisible God, that Christ is, through him, all things were created, invisible and visible, that whether the thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through and for him. And he is the head of the church. He is the head of the body. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, and he is supreme in all things. He is supreme over all creation. And so you don't need those other things, man. In Christ, you have everything. And so the Son of God, he became flesh. He lived a sinless life. He lived a life so that we could be set free. He came and he shed his blood and he reconciled us to God. And he did something that no one else could do. He reconciled us to a holy God, to the Father. And so we read in Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 5, it says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." And so when we read this, it doesn't mean that before Christ we were just misinformed people. We were just maybe good people who needed a bit of a tweak. No, it says here that we were dead in our trespasses. We were separated from Christ. We were enemies of God. But through Jesus, we're made alive in Christ. Through Jesus, we are reconciled. Just even as we were singing this morning, it was just the gospel in the worship. It's just all about Jesus, all about what he's done on the cross. And that's why Paul says, just as you have received Christ as Lord, continue to live in him. Continue to live your lives in him, because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. There is no other source. There is no other power. There is no other authority, no man-made structure that can fill you, that can fill that hole in our hearts that is only meant for God, because he brings a fullness to us in a way that nothing else can. And so when we hear this, when we read about this, when we read the gospel, it has to evoke a response in us. Hey? It has to evoke a response where we realize that Jesus is the very source of life. That we realize that there's this deep need in our hearts for him. And when we start to recognize this, that we need Jesus, we start to center our lives around him instead of Jesus around our lives. We start to go, God, you are my Lord. And when we say, God, you're my Lord, it doesn't mean that you're Lord of everything. Just accept this one thing. No, it says, Lord, have everything. Lord, I'll give you everything because you gave everything. Hey? And so he's looking for us to be a people to give it all. And so Paul instructs you, and it's quite a simple instruction. He says, don't listen to all those things. Keep walking. Keep rooted and established in God. Stay rooted in him. Even when life gets difficult, even when your child is sick, even when your marriage is struggling, even when work responsibilities are getting too hectic, stay rooted in Christ. Cling to him. Keep on. And I think it's a simple, refreshing message for us. And I think it's relevant for us in a day and age where we're finding there's a lot of pressure on people to perform. People are extremely burdened. They're broken, and they're clinging to whatever they can. They're clutching at things, and we're finding that there's just so much content available out there now for them to clutch onto. There's so much out there, and there's a lot of confusion in the world, and so. Yeah, if I just think of when life, like what life was like when I was growing up, it was so different to how it is now. I always used to get very frustrated as a kid when an older guy would come to me and say, you know, when I was your age, and I'm that guy. But yeah, I just remember, you know, we grew up with TVs, but there was no Netflix, there was no streaming. And then, you know, we had tapes, videotapes. If you wanted to watch a really cool movie, me and my brother, we'd walk up to the video store and select movies. He'd pick one and I'd pick one, or we'd go to the movies. I used to get super frustrated because I would tape a really cool show, and then I'd put it on and find out my dad had taped the cricket over it. And then CDs came out. You know, I thought it was really cool because I had one of those Walkman sort of bags where you could put all the CDs in, you know. and then I remember the first cell phones coming out. And I still remember I'd saved up for my very first phone that I bought. And this phone was so special because I could hold an entire single MP3 on it. One MP3. The rest was polyphonic. Some of you guys don't even know what that is. Polyphonic ringtones. And I, at the time, had decided that my one MP3 was going to be Crazy Frog. And it was not my finest moment. And then all of a sudden, you know, things just started to change. The internet just took over. We started having the instant chats, the BBMs, the Mixits, the WhatsApps. Remember those times? What is this? What you up to? yeah. And it just started to really transform the way that we do things. Now we've got the news on us all the time. We've got our work emails on us. We've got entertainment of us. But with that comes on us all the time is this open door to the voices of the age. There's an open door to culture on us like never before. That is just so easily accessible. And there's just so many platforms now where people are starting to realize they've got a voice and they can just say whatever they want on there. And so we've got to be so careful because there's just so much out there. And so Paul is kind of warning us about this. He's saying, see to it that no one takes you captive. And there's something that we've got to notice in that language. Takes you captive. Be rooted in Christ. You see, something can look attractive. It can look even maybe progressive. But if it's not rooted in Christ, if it's just slightly off center, it can lead us totally astray. Just one degree off. And so just as the devil masks himself as an angel of light, we've got to be so careful. Sorry. And we're not just asking, like, is what I'm listening to, is what I'm reading, does this make me feel good? No, we've got to be asking ourselves, is this rooted in Christ? Is this rooted in the Scripture? Okay. Because we can find ourselves so easily rooting ourselves in things that are not God. We can find ourselves rooting ourselves in our sense of achievement. We can find our identity in success. We can find our identity in maybe what people think about us. We can find our identity in the social justice and political movements that are springing up all the time. We can even find our identity and sense of self-worth in our religious performance and what we're doing on a Sunday. And so not every root that we have necessarily produces healthy fruit. Who likes the garden here? A few guys. I think at AM there'd be a few more hands. One day. Y'all standing nuts. But there's something you can use in gardening. It's called koinor. Now, I've only used it once, and I heard its side effects. So I haven't touched it again. But it's this really potent stuff that you put in the roots of your trees, like your fruit trees, like your lemon trees, because sometimes they get like a bubbly citrus leaf, or they get these aphids. And you put this stuff in the roots, and it totally gets rid of all the pests, and this tree just transforms. But what happens is it actually gets digested through the root system and makes its way into the fruit. And so the fruit becomes poisonous to eat. That's why when you take this stuff, there's actually an instruction that says you can't eat the fruit for the first year or two of actually pouring it into the soil. And so in the same sense, you know, we've got to be so careful what we're rooting ourselves in. Proverbs 12, verse 12 says, "The wicked desire the stronghold of evildoers, but the root of the righteous endures." The ESV says, the root of the righteous bears fruit. And so the root of the tree, it essentially determines the fruit and our ability to endure. So we need to be asking ourselves, what are we drinking from? What are we drawing from? What are we rooting ourselves in? Because eventually, that's going to shape the outcome of our lives. Sorry, I'm a bit sick. It's going to shape the outcome of our eternity one day. Right, and so it's not only the social media and the culture of today which forms us. Some of us might have put down roots from a young age and had certain past experiences which really shape the way that we see God, that shape the lens at which we look at Him through, you know. I think for some of us, there might be the voice of a father or mother that spoke to us, or perhaps the absence of that voice. Maybe we didn't get the sense of protection, the sense of affirmation, the sense of encouragement and protection and guidance that a child should receive. And so sometimes what happens is, you know, when we're lacking that, we look for it in other ways. We look for that affirmation, that sense of identity. And so what happens is we can find ourselves maybe leaning into performance. We can find ourselves leaning into success because it fills that sense of purpose. It fills that sense of identity. And so some of us have learned that by pleasing people, by living for the praises of man, we like to do it because it helps to make us feel significant. And others maybe have found that maybe they they've just been so disappointed by people that they'd rather not depend on anyone at all. And so we take control. And so we'll just do it my way, and I won't let anyone in. I don't need people, and that way I can't be disappointed. And so those are natural flesh responses. They were responses that we adopted to help us overcome maybe some painful times, painful memories in our lives. But if they're not rooted in Christ, those ways of coping are never going to sustain us. We will eventually fall short. We will eventually fail. And so the problem is with faulty roots, when the winds come and the storms come, you're going to blow away, man. When somebody criticizes us, if you're rooted in what people think, it eventually will cause you to crumble. When your work, when there's struggles there, if you're rooted in performance, you know, and it doesn't turn out the way you planned, your marriage doesn't turn out the way you planned, the way you raise our kids, all these things, if we're finding our identity in them, eventually down the line, when it doesn't work out, we're going to be lost. We're going to be going, sure, where is my sense of purpose? Maybe even feeling rejected. I don't know all the feelings that can come with that, unsafe. And I think Jesus, sometimes he allows us to go through stretching times to expose the roots, to expose what we've been actually drawing on. Not because he wants to bring shame, but because he wants to bring freedom. Because he wants us to go, hey man, that's a weed in your life. You need to uproot it. You need to go back to the source. And I'm just so thankful to the apostles and the gifts that we have that are helping us to lay down the foundations, to help root us to Christ so that we won't be tossed to and fro. Ephesians 4 verse 14, it says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. And so Paul is saying, root yourselves to Christ. And so what does it mean to be rooted, to be built up, and to be established, like Paul writes here? Because he brings two very different pictures, if you think about it. There's this picture of a plant rooted. When you think of that, we think of a lush plant. It's drawing nutrients. It's drinking from the source. And then he says, and be built up. There's this picture of this building. It's going up. It's not drawing down. It's going up. And it's almost like what Christ is building and establishing in us in the foundations that have been laid down. And then he says, and be strengthened and established in the faith. And when we think of that, we think of maybe stability. We think of being secure, being rooted, being grounded, being very difficult to move. And so when Paul is saying being rooted, if you think of it, roots don't just happen overnight. Kerry and I, we love planting trees in our garden, but we've realized those trees are going to take a long time for us to actually enjoy it. We might never enjoy it. But roots don't happen overnight. It takes time for them to develop. Buildings don't happen overnight. It takes time for every brick to be laid into that building to establish it. And so a Christian life is not something that just happens overnight. When you're going through that storm or that difficult time, you're not going to just immediately grow roots. Those roots need to have been established over time from a life of seeking God, of pressing into Him, of searching for Him. Even like Bryson read this morning, that Psalm 63, oh Lord, I'm thirsty for You, you know. And so it starts really, if you think about it, most roots are hidden, they're underground. And so it really starts in the hidden place. That's where it starts. Colossians 3, verse 3 to 4, it says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. And he says here, when Christ, who is your life, Christ is our lives. He is our source. And so when Christ is our source of our life, He's the source of our true identity. He's the source of our purpose. He's the source of our worth. Where what Paul is saying here is that those things are no longer rooted in the temporary visible things around us, but rather they are hidden with Christ. They are hidden with Him. They're hidden in the things that are unseen. And so I just even have a sense that Christ, just even through the prayer time, just the words that have come through, that Christ is calling us to drink from Him, to go to Him in the secret place, in the hidden place, in the unseen place where, you know, the roots grow. And just thinking about that, you know, I remember last year in worship, I was standing here and I was just worshiping, and Those of you who don't know our story, Kerry and I, we've had a long journey of trying to fall pregnant. We've always wanted to adopt. Robin and Georgia, both our girls are adopted. That was always our first choice. But there was always this thing in my heart to want to have a biological child. And I just remember carrying this thing for years. And then one day in worship, I was just standing here. And the Lord just said to me, I want you to give that thing to me. I want you to surrender it. And I just stood there and I said, yo, Lord, such a strong desire of mine. Why? He said, because I need you to trust me. I want it all. You need to trust me that I've got your life. I've planned it out for you. Even if you think it's supposed to look a certain way. And I just stood there in worship, just crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'll give you it all. I'll give you it all. Because you're my Father. And I know that you love me. And I know that you've planned my life. And so, Lord, it doesn't matter. I'll give it to you. And that's what I'm talking about, this secret place. No one else knew what was happening there, but I did. It was in that place where I was rooting myself to Jesus. And as I did that, I just felt myself rooting deeper to the Father. I just felt myself being safe in His hands. And so when we're rooting ourselves, we're also rooting ourselves to the love of the Father. There's a tree that I was reading about last week. We went away and I was just reading about this. And it's called the Methuselah tree. It's named after the oldest living man in the Bible. And it's because it's known to be one of the oldest living trees to have ever existed so far. Pretty much when it was a sapling was when the pyramids were being built. And this tree, if we can maybe just pull a picture up of it, it's not the most impressive looking tree. It looks pretty dead and old, a bit like my cat. And and this tree is just it's just stood the test of time. It's located in somewhere in California, and it lives in what they call a rain shadow, where it doesn't get a lot of rain there. The soil is dry and it's harsh. But yet this tree has been able to just stand the test of time. And the reason for it is because of its root system. Its root system, it just spreads wide and deep. And it actually clutches to the rock. And it ingrains itself. And so it's seen lush forests around it rise and fall. It's seen cities around it rise and fall. But yet this tree has been able to stand strong. And it's almost a sense, man, that when we root ourselves to the rock, when we root ourselves to the cornerstone, we're able to endure. We're able to push on. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19, it says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches that He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp just how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so when we're rooted in love. We're rooted in the love of the Father, and we can find security in this. We can find security in the fact that we've been adopted as sons and daughters, that Christ has died for us, that He's given us a new name. He's given us new rights, inheritance, which is imperishable. He's rescued and redeemed us. Come on. Yeah, very quiet, man. And so to be rooted, man, means to know that we are rooted in Christ and that we are loved by the Father, hey? That we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are His workmanship. I just want to maybe end with this last part. We're rooted in Christ, and when we're rooted in Christ, He is the head of the body, which means we're also rooted in the body. We're rooted in fellowship. And so I spoke about that Methuselah tree, but there's another living organism out there. It's known as one of the largest living organisms. It's called the Aspen Grove Pando. And this is very interesting if we can pull it up. But there are about 47,000 different trees in this forest, but they're all connected to the same root system. And so you've got 47,000 different trees. They've all got different types of bark, maybe scars and damage to them, different heights, all sort of different like positions and whatever, but they all share the same DNA. They're all connected together. And so when we're rooted to Christ, we're rooted to the body. We share one life. And that is I think it's just such a beautiful picture of the church, eh? That we need one another, that we're grafted in. There was a word this morning that we're grafted into the body. Yeah, Vince was just sharing this morning how, Brad, after every meeting, will ask the lead elders to just send a two-minute voice note of what's been happening in the meeting, because he just wants to hear what God is doing. He just wants to see what God is doing amongst the body. And when he hears about the testimonies, when he hears about the saints coming with their songs and their, you know, the prophetic, and it just encourages him. It fills him with hunger. And it's just... just a sense that the Lord has just also been speaking to me about, you know, when we're in fellowship with one another, we need to be looking for the different moments where there's almost like the Lord has said, there's manna in every conversation that we have with one another. And so it's just been so encouraging as we converse with one another, as we hear each other's stories, that I'm just so encouraged when I sit with someone, not to move past it, because I think sometimes we can always be in a rush. There's always a distraction. There's always something to move on to. But to actually just be present and say, what has God done through this person's life? What is he doing? It's just encouraging me so much. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you can even speak to me through other saints around me. And so there's something beautiful when the Lord knits us into fellowship. You know, Paul says our hearts are knitted together. Okay. Yeah. And so Paul is saying that we're rooted in Christ and what he's done for us. Our identities are secure in him. We're rooted in the Father's love. We're established and built up in him. And we're rooted in fellowship with one another.